Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk. And just as the show went live, Remo got up and started making noise. So, I don't know. It's going to be one of those days. It is a beautiful, beautiful Sunday here in New York. I had a couple of really lovely days out on Fire Island with my good friend Lorraine Neidhart and ate lobster and sat in the sun and got a little tan, a little sunburn on my nose. So I'm feeling very mellow here on a beautiful Sunday in New York and recognizing that the world is still a wild and crazy place. We still have these wild and crazy aspects. We're going to talk a little bit about, hi baby, how to work with the energy in the week ahead and what to do with it so you can be forewarned on how to handle the upcoming energy. First, on a sad note, a brilliant astrologer died last Sunday, Dave Ruhl. He's also known as William Ruhl, for those of you wanting to post a note on his obituary. Dave was private about his chart, so I'm not going to talk about it, but interestingly, the last email exchange I had with him was when I posted a couple weeks ago about my friend Jeffrey Allison, who died. And Dave was born 2 days later than Jeffrey, and about 12 hours later than Jeffrey. So he had read my kind of brief analysis of, you know, dropping dead of a sudden heart attack and taking off, and he commented on it and said, you know, it was right near his birthday and had noticed the correlations in their charts. And, of course, he died of a sudden heart attack. He'd been having heart trouble this last year that he'd written about a bit on his weekly, he sent out a weekly newsletter, which I always would say to my students, you have to subscribe to this, it's free, and you learn something every week. There wasn't a week I went by that I didn't learn something from Dave Ruhl, whether it was, oh yeah, that fixed star, I forgot about it, or what did Ptolemy say about this, or, you know, his theories on just about anything. He was a very, very well-read man. He was a bit of a curmudgeon. My first encounter with him was he actually fired me, you know, and then he apologized for it and asked me to come back, but the woman who had put me in touch with him said, don't you go back with him under any circumstances. And I'm like, okay. He had moved to New York, and we were thinking of doing lectures. We had talked to him about doing lectures in his store, which was over by Penn Station. And he thought it was a great idea, so we'd lined up a couple of really good astrologers, Maria K. Sims, Robert Hand, to come and speak once a month. It would get traffic to the store and good lectures in New York. And I was a baby astrologer, and the woman who put me in touch with him, who had thought of the idea with him and said, you know, I have the student, Anne, who can do it. She's really good at this stuff. So I set up a couple of them, and I was running the Rob Hand one, and in came a very slinky Scorpio with very large breasts that kind of bounced all over the place. And she went over and was flirting with Dave and kind of shaking her boobs in his face. And Dave's a breast man. He's a very very heterosexual kind of guy. And he kind of, like, you could see he was mesmerized by the boobs. And, you know, I ran the workshop. It went really well. And then we left, and, you know, we were going to do the next one. And he called me to tell me I was fired. And he decided to replace me with the woman who shook her boobs in his face. And I went, oh, okay. And then he called my teacher to tell her that he'd replaced me with this woman. And she, in no uncertain terms, told him she was not working with that woman. How dare he fire me? Yada, yada. well, the boob shaker was, you know, fairly well known as being a bit of a troublemaker and, of course, caused trouble right away. So he ultimately fired her and came back and asked us to come back and work for him again, but by then life had moved on, and my teacher was like, no way are we working with you again. So that, you know, but, it, you know, all apologies all around. He was like, he's Aquarian, you know. It's like, made a mistake. What do you want? Sorry, you know, I got enamored by the boobs. So that was my introduction to Dave. So we've always had a really interesting kind of relationship in many ways. Because he fired me, you know, but he didn't fire me because I did anything wrong. He fired me because I didn't shake my boobs appropriately, which you can't blame a guy for that, you know. It's just, what are you looking for? So at any rate, he has left us much too soon, and very suddenly he's got a wife and a daughter, and he's a brilliant astrologer, and he's a curmudgeon, and, you know, just a great guy. So I wish him Godspeed and many, many happy light passages ahead. And I'm sure he stashed astrology books all over the all over the world. And he republished a number of books. So I don't know what his wife, his widow, is going to do with the website. But there are a number of print-on-demand books, which are classics for those of you who've never checked him out. And go check out his website. He does have the old newsletters up. They're not really time-based, meaning they're not like my weekly weather report that I publish. They're more astrologically oriented. So I encourage you, it's astroamerica.com. And thank him for many, you know, many publishings of things that were out of date and his wide and very generously shared knowledge around the world. There's many people who are very sad that he's left us. He's not without controversy, you know. He's one of those controversial kind of guys, but those do seem to run in the astrology circles. So Godspeed, Dave. Wish you a good journey wherever you're going, and I'm glad it was fast and quick. And if he went on Sunday night, the 27th, it's very similar to the way Jeffrey took off on 4th of July, probably dead before he hit the ground with the moon's trine to Uranus and the square to Saturn. So Godspeed, Mr. Dave, and Godspeed to Jeffrey, who left a month earlier and was born 2 days earlier, 2 days and 12 hours earlier. So anyway, our week ahead, hopefully no more good astrologers dropping dead. Barbara Sherman died too. I mean, I didn't know her well, but her work was really widely respected, and that was the first time I'd ever seen Alex Gray's interconnecting lines in an astro drama thing with her at some conference, and I'm like, oh my God, this is like amazing. So some of the people that were my oh wows are rolling. So at any rate, the week ahead promises to have a full moon. Okay, we are finishing. Mars is now in Scorpio. Hooray, hooray! Out of, remember, it's been 9 months in Libra. So since December, Mars has been indecisive. As of last Friday night, a Friday a week ago, it got very decisive, and it got very clear. And it really just went, okay, time to go now. We're ready to roll. And, you know, moving on. And so Mars in Scorpio is very aggressive. It's in Scorpio till the end of September, or the middle of September. And it takes action. Now, Mars, of course, rules Saturn and Scorpio. The two of them are working together, but Mars is approaching Saturn. So he's going to be increasingly frustrated, not so much this week, but next week as he gets closer and closer to Saturn. But what he's doing this week is he's tracing through those early degrees of Scorpio. So he's taking us back in time and space to the fall of 2012 when Saturn went into Scorpio for the first time. And we were kind of learning those energies. So Mars in Scorpio this week gets up to 9, okay, which is pretty high. He's going pretty fast. So our job with him is to know that we are really in the mood to take action. People aren't in the mood to sit around anymore. There's a lot of energy flying around. The other thing we have this week is the Sun comes to square Saturn. Now the Sun's in Leo, so it's going to come. Last week it set off the finger of God, so there was a moment of transition or, you know, really changing shape as the Sun went from Neptune to Pluto, meaning the apex of the finger of God, making us have faded, seeing things in a faded way. We saw things we hadn't really seen, you know. So Monday morning when Dave's newsletter came out, I'm like, that's really weird. And his site was down too. Like, what the heck's that about? And then on Tuesday, finding out that he had passed. So Mercury this week goes through that finger of God. So we get news that we hadn't received before. We get a new idea. We get some information early in the week between the 4th and the 6th, because Mercury is moving very fast. So we get information. Last week we saw something. This week we get information about something. As the Sun slowly approaches, he's not going to square Saturn until next week. But he's approaching the square. I mean, actually, he squares Saturn this week. He doesn't clear the square with Saturn until next week, but he's approaching the square. So we're going to feel our ego needs to express ourselves where they've been thwarted through the relationships that don't support us. We're going to feel a psychological need to break free. And if you think back to last November, whatever the relationship story you've been working on since then, it culminates now because Saturn is at 16, back where he was in November, and the Sun is now coming back to that point, and it's saying to him, okay, what have you learned since November about your relationship needs, about how you commit to things or perhaps fail to commit to things? You know, sometimes with Saturn and Scorpio, we're afraid of commitment. But we have to commit in some place, and we have to commit to our karma, our natal Saturn, whatever it is. So there's a request here, excuse me, for all of us to buckle down and to commit as the Sun comes to that square. And he invites us to take action and to move forward in our life. We also have a full moon this week. Full moon is next Sunday. And it is at 2.09 p.m., and the full moon is at 18 degrees of Aquarius and Leo. So we go back, you know, we remember these full moons have the shorter cycle, you know, they go back 2 weeks to the new moon. But we also go back to 20 months to the new moon that took place in February, around February 10th of 2013, last year. So think about what you were working on then when the new moon took place at that degree. And now tie it back to your relationship story. Tie it back to age 16. The new moon takes place at 18. And the full moon takes place at 18. So we're working at that 16 to 18, very pivotal time in people's lives. They're making decisions about college. They're making decisions about relationships. They're deciding what the first part of their career is going to be in some cases. Oftentimes it's first real serious love, getting independence, learning how to drive a car. There's a very lot of changes that happen in that little patch of time. And we make a lot of decisions, thought of or unthought of, conscious or unconscious. Sometimes we make a vow or we make a promise to ourselves. And now the universe is saying, go back and think about those. What's your vision? You know, what was going on in your parents' marriage? What was going on in the relationships with your friends? In your larger family, in your relationships around, how did that shape your understanding of what relationships were for you? A lot of times with Saturn and Scorpio, we pick a cautious or a safe path rather than allowing ourselves to be free. So if you've been choosing safety, this is the opportunity where the Sun is going to come to square Saturn, and he's going to say to you, how safe do you want to be? You could drop dead of a heart attack. I mean, Dave wrote me 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, wow, that guy's chart's amazingly like mine. And I was like, yeah, I never thought of that. I guess you're right, it is. And who knew? A month later, he would be dead. Understanding that we're all here on a temporary visa. We all get to go, you know, at any time. And, of course, you know, when we're in the height of summer, the mortality that comes in, or the understanding of mortality. Now, Saturn and Uranus are still separating. They're still at 16 this week, moving slowly but separating. So that twisting towel energy that we've been working with all the month of July is starting to ease up a little. But you know how it is when the energy on a system releases, it kind of lets go. It kind of says, oh, wow. I'm releasing. And one of the things I found after the radio show last week, I found it when I was doing my little internet visitation that I do before I write the column, was I found this lovely video. So if you haven't seen it, go look. I may actually put it in the column again this week. But it was filmed by some Russian guy of water balloons bursting. And they're throwing darts through the water balloons in slow motion. Of course, Uranus is a water balloon. Uranus is the darts. And the water being held, of course, water is always needs a container. The container is broken and breaks free. And the balloon water holds for a second in the air, and then it all falls apart and it kind of undoes. And it's a slow motion video with kind of interesting music. And that's the imagery of the Saturn-Uranus. It's as we throw the darts through the water, the Uranus-Aries, through the water balloon of the Saturn and Scorpio, we can puncture the container that's holding the vessel, and it can collapse in a heap, like Dave did, like Jeff did, like something inside of us. The Saturn part of your chart can collapse in a heap. that Saturn at 16 degrees. Where is he located? Because that's where the energy wants to release. The Uranus energy wants to stir up the trouble and break free. And he's going to shoot a dart at Saturn. Now, interestingly, the Sun is going to trine Uranus this week. So when he does that trine, as the Sun comes to trine Uranus, which is a positive, flowing, easy aspect, we kick up the fire energy. So the Sun trines Uranus on the 8th, on Friday the 8th, and he also inconjuncts Chiron. Now, Chiron inconjunct, remember, Chiron's in Pisces. One of my friends said to me, all these people on crutches. I said, well, Chiron's in Pisces, the sign of the feet. You know, I'm a healthy little thing, but I broke my... Hey, no fighting, guys. Hey, Max, there's lots of furniture. Okay, so now get this. Max gets up, goes into the kitchen. Remo takes Max's space. You know, hit your feet, lose your seat. That's the house I was raised in. So now Max is like, I want my couch space back. And I mean, there's three couch cushions, and they're cats. They're not big. Three couch cushions, chairs, footstools, even coffee tables, because I'm on the radio show and I'm not going to yell at them. at any rate, Sun in conjunct Chiron is a lot about the ego looking at the wound. And looking at it from the point of view of how the wound served, because the wound serves. We have a group that meets on Tuesday at the Church of the Transfiguration, enter through the Open Center at 7 o'clock, $5 donation. And one of the women who is there is a therapist, and she was talking about how people were standing in their victim place. There's been a grand trine in water this last week where everybody's been feeling a little bit victimized, a little bit picked on. Venus in Cancer, kind of a little whiny. You know, like, I work really hard. And I was having a conversation with one of my clients earlier, and I said, you know, I know you're a good girl. I know you always follow the rules and you do everything you're supposed to. And even though you do everything you're supposed to, sometimes life is just not fair. Things are just not fair. And there's a little bit of a need to foot stomp this week. And don't, you know, don't take it personally if someone foot stomps at you. They're just feeling really picked on. They're really feeling like, you know, like I did everything right and it still didn't work out. You know, a little whiny, a little cranky, a little crabby, a little bit of whatever. And so you just look at them and go, well, double down. If it's really important to you, double down and go after it again. If it's not really important to you, Uranus in conjunct Saturn. Break the balloon and release the energy and fly off and do something else. Let the tension go. Release and leave. Release and be free. If you really want it, push, push a little. Because as Uranus and Saturn separate, there is a no. There is a breaking part of the reality that you wanted. But now Saturn's going forward, and he's trying to restructure reality after all the changes, right? There's been all these changes, and he's trying to restructure it. So I'm on Fire Island. I don't have a TV. There's Jewish people in the house. Whatever we were watching, I don't know, one of the TV news stations, CNN maybe, somebody goes, Israel's a terrorist state. And two of them hopped on the chair and went, what? What? We're not a terrorist state? And I'm kind of sitting watching all the pictures going on, you know, with the attacks on the Palestinians, and I'm like, kind of looks like a terrorist state to me. I mean, I didn't say it, but I thought it. Understand your reality is going to be questioned this week. Your understanding of what's going to happen. Start a ceasefire. Somebody comes and blows you up. You shoot them. Great. That doesn't mean you go shooting everybody else. That means you had a little incident. You re-implement the ceasefire, right? It's about stepping back when you need to, leaning forward when you need to, and unfortunately, because the energy is so friggin' crazy, you may not know which way you're supposed to go. And a lot of times your instincts might be off, but if you realize you stepped into something, go, you know, I think my instinct's off here. Let me step back. Neptune is on the world axis, right? And he's inviting us, he's inviting all of us to go towards the higher form of the energy. We can do this. We just have to agree. And it's not always easy. Sun is going to come to the world axis on Leo when it hits 15. So 14, 15, 16 this week. Sun is going to help us see the higher form that we can travel in if we want to. Again, we don't have to. but the option will be presented to us. And I encourage you to kind of take a moment and go, what is the higher form of this? How can I work with it? And to go watch that video of those balloons breaking and go, it's that easy. I just have to let the tension go. And it's changed in a second. I just have to let the resistance go. It's changed in a second. And that's the energy that's offered to us in the heavens, but it also requires us to take some kind of action to get it to move, because inconjuncts are frozen until somebody steps forward. So Monday, the moon is in Scorpio, dum-da-da-dum-dum, and he goes void at 1:43 with the trine to Venus. Now, Venus is still in Cancer, and she's still really sensitive. She's a very sensitive little girl there. So the trine is good, but the moon also occults Saturn, which brings us back to the eclipses that took place in April. Now, remember, there were a whole series of occultations of Moon and Saturn. They're traveling at the same declination. So this is very big. Emotionally, we're really trying to clear things. And, of course, that was one of the times when the stock market was forecasted to collapse. It didn't collapse as much, so this week it did. You know, I'm getting tired of the stock market just doing its own thing and not responding the way I think it should. So the Moon is void all Monday afternoon. Tuesday morning, bright and early, it goes into Sag. Of course, that's a fire moon. And it's in the fire moon on Tuesday, and it's in the fire moon on Wednesday. And it goes void Wednesday morning at 10:52 with a trine to Uranus, which is also creative. So those are very good days for getting things out. Monday morning till 1:43 when the moon goes void, Tuesday, Wednesday till 10:52. Thursday, Friday, a little tougher. Moon's in Cappy. We love Capricorn moons. It makes us work hard, but we don't always get what we want. And this Capricorn moon has a moon opposite Venus, so there's a separating energy to it. And so we watch that on Thursday and Friday. It goes void bright and early in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning, and enters Aquarius on Saturday morning at 9:52. And it's in Aquarius with a closing aspect of a separation to Mercury on Saturday and Sunday. And it goes void Sunday night at 6:12. So we've got the beginning part of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, good for getting things done. Now remember, the moon goes void Monday afternoon and Tuesday at 11, Wednesday at 11. So you got to really pump stuff. The back end of the week is more the no part of the week. That's when you deliver the no's to people. And you say, that's finished. The full moon is culminating the story that began in February of 2012. And it pushes us forward. Additionally, this week, we have a couple other fun aspects. Mars trines Neptune. Remember, Mars is in Scorpio now. So as he swims up to Neptune at 7, he's going to go, ooh, hi, big guy. Now, Mars in Scorpio is the swamp, emptying into the ocean, Neptune. So this is, again, the energy of releasing the mud, the intention, the passion, releasing it into water, the effortlessness, the abundance, the expansion energy of the ocean of Pisces. So it's an excellent aspect for letting go of tensions, letting go of resentments, letting go of things you don't want to carry anymore as that trine takes place. And, of course, back when Mars joined Pisces, when he was last in Pisces, this is a closing trine. encouraging us to, closing trine, encouraging us to psychologically process our emotional needs and what is our vision for ourselves. Friday this week is like Friday last week, just rocking and rolling. There's a pile of aspects. And, you know, unfortunately not as nice a moon as this Friday, the last Friday that we had. And so the moon is combust the sun. Now remember, when the moon is combust the sun in Leo, everybody thinks they're right. And so they are right. Don't go arguing with them. And, of course, as the Mercury and the sun come to join, you know, you telling somebody they're wrong this week just not going to fly, you know. So don't even bother. They're going to resent you. They're going to say you're acting like my mother. You know, it's a big mother projection day, moon in Capricorn. You're not letting me do what I want to do. So, you know, just kind of go, yeah, you know, I guess you're right. You know, I'm not going to even argue with you. We also have Mercury is very busy on the 8th because he's repeating the aspects the Sun had on last Sunday, where he trines Uranus and he squares Saturn. So think about that. Mercury trine Uranus, breakthrough idea. Then he squares Saturn and he gets told why it's not going to work. But he's had the idea. And, you know, and a lot of times we get really locked into it has to work with this person or it has to work with this thing or it has to be this person, you know, it has to be this, as opposed to what's the bigger vision of the dream? What are we actually looking for? What's the true purpose of it, right? And that's the Mercury in Leo is the purpose is creation. The purpose is serving your sun. The purpose is allowing your sun to accurately and adequately express itself. How are you doing that? And Mercury trining Uranus is ready to play. And then as he comes to join Saturn, Saturn says no. And the sun, of course, goes, but, hey, what the deal with that, you know? And so the sun trines Uranus, right? And then the sun squares Saturn on Saturday. So last week on Sunday, we had the moon in Leo. Excuse me, right after that new moon, hit the Uranus Saturn. That's when Dave dropped it, probably around 8 o'clock at night. That would be my guess. Then this week, the Mercury happens first on Friday, boom, boom, and then right behind Mercury, the sun does it. All right, so think about it. The moon is the emotional needs, what we want. The Mercury is our communication, and the sun is how we get there and what we're actually trying to do. So sun square Saturn, we're not always going to get what we want. That's just not how the world works. But the idea, the vision, the hope, the belief that we want it, that's what we're working towards. So in the face of no this week, just go, okay, well, not with you, but that doesn't mean I can't have it. I'm just going to go and find somebody else who's going to give it to me. And then as we get to the full moon, we understand that it's a wide, wide world, right? It's not just about this one situation. It's about lots of places that it can come from. So it's a very interesting week because it allows us to explore and expand our idea of what's possible for us. So on Friday we go, okay, this is what I am going to do and nobody's going to stop me. And then Mercury goes, yes, this is what I'm doing, and then runs into a roadblock. And then the sun goes, yes, this is how I'm breaking free, and then runs into a roadblock. And then they both go, okay, let's sit down and look at this from a bigger picture point of view, re-strategize. So the point of this, the weak energy, is to really re-strategize and then come up with a new vision. So next week, when we get to the week of the 11th, we're working with a slightly different energy of the sun's past the stop from Saturn, and Mars is coming up to Saturn, right? So we're going to have Mars come through here and run into the roadblock of Saturn. But we're learning. We're learning how to deal with the roadblocks. We're learning how to deal with the disappointments. We're learning how to understand, well, it's not always perfect, but it's pretty good. What are we really focusing on? And pull back your focus and go, gee, I'm really glad to have been asked to the dance, even though I didn't get to dance maybe with the person I wanted to. But I learned something. I learned how to dance. I learned what the dance was about. And now with that knowledge, I'm going to go do something else. The British lady just spoke, so I'm out of time. But I will add to this, Sun is squaring the nodes of destiny. Venus is squaring the nodes of destiny on August 5th, inviting us to choose love, to choose wisdom, to choose connection, relationship, expansion. And then we also have a number of planets. Neptune hits the nodes and is aspecting them in a hard way, saying to you, that dream's not going to happen. But there are other dreams. Let's work on those. Pallas Athena enters a new sign. Juno enters a new sign, Hygieia enters a new sign, and Ceres enters a new sign. So we have four planets changing signs. Always makes for a turbulent week. Now, admittedly, they're asteroids, but they're the girls. So when the girls change signs, you know, when a woman changes her mind, it's always fun. So lots of changes in the week ahead, too. So have a good week. be careful out there. It's a little bit stressful, but you're going to do it. We're almost through the wicked hard part. And when the wicked hard part is over, you're going to go, oh, this feels so good. It's a very mushy, messy kind of week, but it'll be fun eventually. Take care. This is Ann Ortley signing off. Bye-bye.